Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And the first meeting of these two rookie quarterbacks. Juwan Brisker gets a picture there with C.J. Stroud. By themselves as faces of the franchise going forward. Put on a good show for us here tonight. Final score. Shane Waldron is calling the plays. He was in Seattle the last 3 years off the Sean McVay tree. And he matches wits with DeMeco Ryans. If you think back, Waldron was in the NFC West in Seattle. DeMeco was with San Francisco, his last job before the Texans. And they call plays against each other, so this is familiar business with unfamiliar opponents.
The hard part, Mike, is you're asking your quarterback to play a certain way. Play within your offense, get it out of your hands, do all that. And then you do a lot of stupid stuff, you know? You have holding penalties, you have offsides penalties, you have delay games. So if you want your quarterback to play like that, you've got to be more disciplined on the offensive side.
It is Spiegel & Company right here on 670 The Score. Spiegs and Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune, who I've now worked with a couple times as a co-host. You've heard him as a guest, obviously, for several years, but a darn good co-host is Dan Wiederer. And I'll let you behind the curtain for a moment. Sometimes I need to make sure that I don't treat a co-host as a guest and kind of interview them, like ask them, hey, so what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Because I'm sitting here, but you have a great perspective that I really want to make sure I take advantage of today. Like, this is you as a guy who's been on the beat. How many years on the Bears beat now?
This is season 12.
12 on the Bears beat and in Minnesota with the Vikings.
Two for Minnesota, yeah.
Two for Minnesota. So 14 years on a football beat, talking to coordinators every week. Thursday is the Shane Waldron and Eric Washington and Richard Hightower day.
Yep.
Has it always been coordinators Thursdays over the past 14 years?
We did them on Wednesdays when I first got here. I feel like Jay used to go on Thursdays instead of Wednesdays, and so everything was kind of flip-flopped. I don't know what that was in terms of the routine for the quarterback.
Yeah.
It usually all is predicated off what the quarterback wants to do, and everybody kind of adapts around it.
Because it's a really weird dynamic to see a game and then want to pick it apart, wait till you see the All-22 and pick that apart, and then not...
Wait 3 days?
And then wait 3 days to talk to the coordinator, because by the time Thursday comes around, all of our body clocks and the conversation, the narratives have moved on to the Indianapolis Colts.
Especially theirs. And there was a moment in last week's back and forth with Shane where somebody asked a question about a specific play and he gave an answer that was something to the effect of, you know, that's 4 days ago now. I've kind of forgotten about that, and, you know, we should be forward looking. And Mark Potash kind of joked afterward, like, If you want to talk on Mondays, we're available. We're all available if you want to just unpack the previous game on Monday so it isn't so awkward when we get to Thursday and you're trying to do two things at once, which is look ahead and also reflect and revisit, because I do think there is a lot to gain from the reflection and revisiting of things that happened in the previous game to figure out whether everybody's got things, you know, sorted through. And this game that we just watched on Sunday requires a lot of sorting through.
Do other teams, do OCs talk earlier in the week for other teams? Is it a choice? Could they if they wanted to?
Everything's a choice. But early on, in the early 2000s, when I was kind of just sort of peripherally covering the league, working at the Naperville Sun way out in the Western Burbs here, the coordinators used to talk right after the game. You could get them in the locker room. You know, you'd walk up to John Shoup after a game and you get him for 5 minutes. And that was just part of the locker room setting. You know,
let's talk about all seven of these bubble screens, John.
Yeah. You know, and there, you know, it's all fresh then. And you would almost always get the, well, we got to go back and look at it, you know, to figure out what went on there. But, I wish you could implement something where it was just like every single outlet gets to submit one or two plays that you're going to get some explanation on, right? Like by the time we get to Thursday, hey, here's the plays we have questions about, right? Like here's your library, and then you guys pick the six that you want to address and just give us an explanation.
Yeah, but that'd be fun. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, you're not allowed to just submit plays.
Hey, hey.
You're not allowed to do that.
Shut up, you condescending piece of crap.
That's not how it works.
Mark Schlereth coming up at 4 o'clock. I think that's a great idea.
Should we submit it to the suggestion box?
Have you ever brought that up to Bears PR? Other writers talk about that? That's a great idea.
This is a new regime here, and so the suggestion box isn't as locked as tightly as it's been at times during my time there. And so
that's interesting.
Maybe I'll resubmit the index card.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting idea, because how many plays do you want to ask Shane Waldron about?
Nagy actually told us one time that he was going to do these on the regular. Oh, I'm going to have you guys in and you know, everybody wants to guess what we're doing on a specific play. I'm going to have you get in and explain it through. We never did it. We never got there.
Well, as Matt Nagy famously said, you guys are like friends. Remember? Yeah, B writers are friends.
Wasn't that in the press conference? Yeah.
Opening press conference? Is the hello before?
You guys are critics. I look at you all like friends. I don't see you as critics.
Wow.
Did Matt Nagy make you guys lemonade? Like no. Flew says?
No.
Damn.
No. No lemonade in the Nagy.
Have you been to Eberflus's pool house?
Nagy did bless us with a division championship, which was that was kind of fun.
Oh yeah, that was him for sure.
That was a one-off for me in my time. The only time I've ever covered a division championship NFL team.
Wow. That's remarkable. So what plays are you dying to ask Shane Waldron about?
I mean, I've got my book here from the other night. There were like three that threw me off. There were more than that. Like, this was weird video to go back through, because there were certain points where you can't tell where the play was breaking down first.
So, because I have other kinds of questions about Waldron that I want to ask, but let's get to yours about scheme and like what went wrong.
Just like what
plays.
Was going on, you know? And there's a play action bubble screen to, well, it was described to me that it was going to be a bubble screen to the right to DeAndre Carter, but it's a play where Dan actually asked me about this yesterday, where it looks like Komet is coming behind the entire offensive line to take care of Will Anderson. But Cole told me after the game that he wasn't pass blocking in that particular situation. So
everybody assumed that Cole missed that block.
Right. And something else went wrong. We go back to the word of the day, discombobulated, right? Something was discombobulated on that play.
Yesterday, Pat Manley guessed that it was supposed to be a quick throw to the other side, so they weren't even worried about Will Anderson.
Right. And it looked like Caleb looked to the right to DeAndre Carter, and for whatever reason, he came off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you've got a premier rusher in the league unblocked, and it results in what it resulted in. And so that's where I think where Matt says after the game, like, protection is more than just the offensive line. Those are the types of things that in the offensive meeting, you get the magnifying glass out and you go, oh God, you know, that looked different than it was. I think maybe it was Caleb's last sack of the game. It was set up to be a tight end screen, which I didn't realize until my third watch this morning when I was going through it. And I'm like, wait a second, DeAndre Carter is not even running a route here. He's down the field getting ready to block, and there's two offensive linemen out in front, and Cole Kmet is Velcroed to Danielle Hunter, and he can't get off of him, and he's looking for a defensive hold on the play or whatever it was, and Caleb can't get the ball out, and he decides to tuck and run, and he gets hit at the line of scrimmage, and it goes down as a sack. And you go, okay, well, what went haywire there? What happened there? Was that just a good play by Hunter by recognizing it early and taking Cole out of the play, or mm-hmm. did something else go wrong? And so there was a half dozen to 10 of those types of things going through the video where you're like, man, like I just, this one confounded me because there were so many things that were discoordinated. Were we uncoordinated, discombobulated, we're gruntled and combobulated is the goal. And,
yeah.
and I want to take steps for all of us to get there.
Okay. So those are some of the questions you have for Shane Waldron. We'll get to some of my questions in a moment, but our guy Shad from the South Side has a question for Shane Waldron. Go ahead, Shad. What you got?
Hey, the top five Matt of all time. What's happening, my brother? What's going on?
Top you five Matt to of all time. Who else is in the top five?
It's irrelevant, Matt. He's a GOAT. He's a GOAT. And that's what we want to keep it because we got my boy Dan in the building. Hey, Dan, I just want to let you know, man, there's no potpourri smell this week, so I want to put it plain and simple for you. Because everybody's just assuming that next week it's a give me 150 yards on the ground. Ask Shane Waldron, what was his approach against a fast defense the first game at home on carpet? Where was the power offense? And I know the game wasn't out of control, so it wasn't like they had to abandon it. The reason I'm asking is that we're just assuming he's going to take advantage of the obvious mismatches. But this past week, I didn't see any physicality in terms of the play calling. Can you get that cleared up for me?
I think it was 71% pass, 29% run in that game. And that speaks to a little bit what you're talking about there. There was one run by DeAndre Swift that I brought up to David Haw on the Take the North podcast earlier. It's a 7-yard up the middle run by DeAndre Swift where I would play that on a loop for about an hour in the offensive meeting room and say, fellas, this is what it's supposed to look like. You dominate the line of scrimmage, you create forward push, and your running back gets the ball and hits it, you know, and you get 7 yards and it's 2nd and 3. And that was so few and far between on Sunday. It's been few and far between for the first 2 weeks. And I think, you know, to Shad's point, as you're trying to discover an identity, you got to figure out what you do best. And I don't think they're there yet. And hopefully they get there soon, because I don't think any of us could sit here after 2 games and 23 possessions and go, we know what they do best, because they haven't done anything well at all.
So you said 71% pass, 29% run. Last year, the Seattle Seahawks, 2nd fewest rushing attempts in the NFL over the full season. And this concerns me greatly now looking at it, because what are the stories of this NFL? As you zoom out right now, rushing yards per game is at its highest since the 80s right now in the NFL. Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers is one of the great stories in the league. Matt LaFleur with Malik Willis at quarterback wins a game against the Colts with 53 rushing attempts. The Saints are 2-0 in one of the stories of the league as Clint Kubiak. That's a top five team in rushing. I think they're number three. I think it's Chargers and Packers and Saints with Alvin Kamara looking like the beast that he was before Pete Carmichael was down there for 3 years. This is a concerning moment to not be leaning into the run in the National Football League.
One of the counter arguments you're going to get from inside the building is that some of the horizontal passing game and the bubble screens and the things they do, that is an extension of the run game. And they just view those as, you know, this is the look we're getting and here's where we're going to go. And it's the extension of run. But to your point, I think this is an educated guess, I would call it, that there are a lot of players who block up front for this Bears offense that would like to marry themselves to a power running game for a little bit and see how it goes, right? And like just try to establish some edge and some forward push and get that going as a way of creating the momentum that has been sorely lacking through the first 2 games.
So can they do that with DeAndre Swift, or do they need to do that with Khalil Herbert or Roschon Johnson?
I'm not sure. I mean, I gave you one 7-yard run from Swift where it looked the way a run that is designed to get 7 yards on first down should look. So that's definitely in there. But DeAndre Swift's not your only back, and you have two other guys that have the capability of doing different things for you. And we have seen so very little of Roschon Johnson on the field through the first 2 weeks offensively. And you go back and you look at some of his better runs from the limited sample size you have from 2023, and there's some nasty in there, right? Like some tone setting nastiness there that you'd like to see them put on video that just tells people, okay, you know, you're going to have to deal with this as well. Because if you're not, then you get what the Texans did, which is, okay, rookie quarterback, we don't have to respect the running game, and we are just going to send the house and see if you can handle it, you know, both physically, mentally, and emotionally for the duration of this night. Obviously, they didn't stand up to that test on Sunday night.
So he's Dan Weider. I'm Matt Spiegel. This is Spiegel & Company on 670 The Score, and we're trying to figure some things out about Shane Waldron.
And a couple things have been rolling around my head from the offseason, okay? And last week I talked about it a lot, some of the research that we did on Waldron and some of those tendencies. I think you and I texted a little bit about it, how often he's in 12 personnel, how often he's in 13 personnel. And we can talk about all that. But there were a couple things on the personality front that are ringing in my ear. And I need to ask you as a journalist, what is fair and what is not fair to want to investigate and sort of figure out about a guy. Okay. So the first thing that was rolling around was this moment that CHGO had, I think it's Mark Carmen, with a couple different people there. They were there to promote Bounty paper towels.
Nope. They're not. Don't mention them.
Sorry. The Dallas Cowboys. If we're going with the Bills analogy here, CHGO is the one who beat us.
I know. I was just wondering if they used the Bounty paper towels to clean up that throwing error that Shane had.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
You condescending piece of crap. You're just filling in here, brother. I got to be here 5 days a week.
Thanks you get for a lobster roll. That's the thanks you get. Unbelievable.
I'm still happy from that lobster roll.
That's where the jokes come from. The lobster roll made him feel fat and happy. I'm glad we left one for Mitch. The here's Mark Carmen with Jackson Smith in Jigba.
Jackson Smith in a good Juba.
So close. And a mazel tov to him as the number three wide receiver in Seattle.
Bears fans are super interested about the offensive coordinator coming in, Shane Waldron. What can you tell them about who they just hired to try to get this offense where it needs to go?
This is live?
Yeah. We're not live.
I'm playing. good luck to y'all. I mean, he's a great person, great offensive coordinator. I was very lucky to have him my first year. Learned a lot from him. I think him and Justin will mesh well. And, you know, adding more guys around him, I think it would be great. So we'll see.
Do you have any advice that you give to Justin in that situation? Considering that you know the coach that's coming in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to love Justin. So, really, just Justin, be yourself and go make plays for real. That's it.
Fair enough.
Damn. Something was up there. Are we live? Live here as he paused. And
I liked how he just went, I was just kidding.
Yeah. Just trying to put the thoughts together. So, what the hell's that about? Is that just a rookie wide receiver who didn't like the way he was used? I don't know. And then there was this. Our friend Dave Softy Mahler from the Seattle radio landscape, longtime guy, had weird thoughts about Waldron as a dude and a personality, and I couldn't figure out where this was going.
Yeah, I just don't get it. If I'm equal parts Bears fan and equal parts Seahawks fan, and I know what I know about Shane Waldron, you know, there's nothing about this hire that excites me at all. I mean, was there anything about the Seahawk offense that you guys watched a year ago or the last 2 years where you said to yourself, wow, look at that scheme. Look at that unbelievable, innovative approach that Shane Waldron took. I mean, his offenses are kind of predictable. They're kind of boring. He doesn't have head coach written on him at all. I mean, there's about as much personality in this cell phone I'm on than there is in Shane Waldron. So I don't know. I hate to tell you any differently. You want me to tell you the guy is the next Andy Reid or the next Mike Holmgren? Great, I'll tell you that, but I'd be lying to you. Again, you want to give Shane Waldron credit for having Geno Smith back and saying the right things to him off the field and connecting with him and putting him in the right position to take advantage of his strengths and his weaknesses? I can roll with you on that. But again, I just saw Shane Waldron, guys, for 3 years in Seattle. When this guy was hired, he was a Sean McVay prodigy, okay?
Yep.
When he came to Seattle. We all thought that we were getting this unbelievable, innovative Sean McVay LA Rams offense, and it was gonna take Pete Carroll from the Stone Ages to the future. And none of that really ever happened. You're also talking to a guy who multiple conversations with Shane Waldron, you know, on the air, in person, at the Seahawk training facility. And what I want out of my offensive coordinator is I want a guy that I could see as the future head coach. And there's nothing about Shane Waldron to me at all that screams future head coach.
So that's interesting to me. And I don't know. I haven't talked to Softy about it off the air. I don't know if he's just talking about like the on-air stuff, but like, Jackson Smith and Jigba's reaction and Softy's reaction makes me think there's something that doesn't feel very, I don't know. Like what's fair to ask based on these feelings we have about Waldron as a guy. I have one other thing I want to add to this.
I think there's very little that's unfair to ask, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Until someone's established and they've shown you a long track record of who they are, I think questions are fair, and I think questions are rational. You know, this when the hire was made in January, you know, it was easy to point out that the Seahawks in 2023 were a worse offense than the 2023 Bears, who were deemed so, you know, impotent that they had to blow out most of the offensive staff. And yet the Seahawks had fewer yards per game. They were worse in the red zone. They were worse on third down. A lot of the key metrics told you that there wasn't anything special happening with the Seahawks offense. It was a huge leap of faith, first by Ryan Poles, to keep Matt Eberflus when you had the opportunity to pivot to a offensive-centric head coach, drafting a quarterback at number one overall, and then a huge leap of faith by Matt Eberflus, who, by his own admission, really didn't know Shane Waldron at all until they sat down in L.A. during the interviewing process in January. And so there's a lot of stuff that needs to come together. Now, I will put the context on that by saying, look, there's been two games played, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think that week seven is going to be a great time to have conversation in this city. It'll be the bye week. There'll be six games played. The Bears could be as strong as 4-2 or 5-1, and we may be talking about the potential of playing football deep into January. But in the short term, until you've established something, I think all questions are fair and on the table.
Did you see the video that has been circulating around? It was a 3-second shot in the middle of Sunday Night Football of Shane Waldron holding his play sheet, and his hand was shaking like a leaf. Now, I don't know why. I was like, is there a wind going on? Is there AC that's hitting there? His hand was shaking as he brought the play sheet up to his mouth to cover his mouth on the headset. It was shaking, and everybody's been running with that. Not everybody. There's a lot of people on social media running with that saying, he's nervous. Look, the dude is nervous. And that's not necessarily true,
right,
for everybody that has that.
That one feels unfair to me a little bit. Like, you know, I've got a buddy, as I mentioned, that I don't even know that there's a reason he does it, but he holds his hand out and it just shakes naturally. Can't hold it steady. So I don't think that's necessarily a tell of anxiety or a tell of nerves. That one feels a little bit like a stretch to me for a guy who, it's not the first time he ever called plays in a night game. You know what I mean? Like, so they won four games in the fourth quarter last year with game winning drives. And so I don't think that there was some debilitating tension and stress that suddenly, you know, engulfed Shane Waldron on Sunday night.
Like he was overwhelmed
in his first
night
game as a Bear. So I think that's probably just a social media creation that is probably silly.
As you've said that you have a friend, I have a couple friends who are immediately coming to mind who have the same kind of physical thing, and I don't even know what it's about, but they're really successful.
Maybe it's us, Speaks.
They're really successful people who are incredibly competent at what they do, who I would trust and have trusted with very important things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one's probably unfair. That's why I'm asking you.
Would you trust them to call the plays this Sunday in Indy?
I would not.
Would you trust them to play left guard?
I would not. Who's going to play left guard this weekend?
Probably Tevin.
Are they going to change anything?
I don't think so. I think that might be a little too knee-jerky right now, but I did say to David earlier today, I said, like, there is nothing wrong with taking the highest-powered magnifying glass you can find and running it over the individual performances of all five of those linemen from last week. There's nothing wrong with that. And then just figure out what the conclusions are that you need to draw from that at this stage of the season. I don't think that you need to knee jerk though, at 1-1 coming off two shaky offensive performances.
Well, let's touch on what you seemed to feel, and notice in the post game locker room as it connects with something Jalen Johnson said to us yesterday. And because those things, I think inform the possibilities of change. I want to ask you about that. We also have incredible audio as the NFL Films microphones reveal the encouraging words and sound advice that C.J. Stroud gave to Caleb Williams. We'll do both of those things next as we roll forward at Spiegel & Company. Speaks and Dan Weider on the score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, everyone, obviously, you know, no one's jumping for joy or anything like that, but we want to get answers. We want to figure out kind of what happened and how we can get better from it. But I think, you know, coming in Monday, you know, we got back at, about 4:15 in the morning. So, you know, a little bit of sleep, and then coming in Monday around noon, we got to watch the tape as a team and be critical and move on. You know, that's what it's about, because, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for you. No one's going to feel bad for you. There's another game this Sunday. So we're ready to go, and we're excited about it.
That's TJ Edwards from the Midday Show earlier today. He joins them every Tuesday, the Bernstein and Holmes Show. Today, in the past few days, with Marshall Harris on the show with Dan Bernstein. So that was very interesting. And Dan Wiederer, my co-host today on Spiegel & Company, I wanted to make sure you heard this from Jalen Johnson. I want to make sure the listeners heard this from Jalen Johnson yesterday in our 5 o'clock hour. Had a chance to talk to him about what it felt like as compared to what it felt like for the fans as well from previous years. And I know you players are different, coaches are different, and everything like that. But do you catch yourself at all saying, man, this feels like years I've been through, games I've been through before?
No doubt. At the end of the day, I am human, and there's definitely blood flowing under the skin of mine. So, I mean, for me, it's definitely one of those things where it's like you kind of look at it like, yeah, this ain't looking or feeling too good. So, I mean, honestly, you just like you think that, and then it's just, hey, but things are going to turn around. Of course, like I've been through this situation with having rookie quarterbacks and things like that, and kind of knowing how much time it takes for that to get going, just for him in itself to get going. And then, of course, we got a lot of new pieces, new OC, new star pieces on our team. O-line is new, so it's like it's not really too much to just go out here and expect them to just go and put up 30. It's like that's they gotta earn their way into that. And I think really that's what they're doing. They're trying to get better, trying to find their identity, try to find where they want to be dominant and how they want to attack defenses and things like that. So really just for us, we're trying to give them any opportunity as possible, give them short fields, turn the ball over. I mean, just really do what we can. Because, I mean, regardless of if they're scoring or not, we still want to be a dominant defense. So
that is Jalen Johnson on a defense playing their ass off and an offense struggling to find its way.
Sounds like a team captain with a confidence in expressing his human side, right? Like an understanding that there needs to be corrections quick, fast, in a hurry. The one thing I liked about the reaction, even though it probably felt heavier than a week two loss coming off a week one win should feel, is that it tells you that this current group of Bears is not okay with losses like Sunday's or the form that the loss came in. I've covered more than a few, you know, demoralizing losses from this football team in the last decade. There's sometimes you walk in the locker room and it's just a state of acceptance. And there was a state of agitation in that locker room Sunday night. And I think it's fair to feel that way. Now, the other part of this entire conversation speaks is the PTSD that Jalen is sort of alluding to that most of Chicago felt on Sunday night. And I know that Ryan Poles was very adamant in April and saying, look, I'm tired of talking about the history. He may be tired of it. I understand why that's a big pet peeve of his, but it's part of the equation here in the city.
So that quote was after Caleb was drafted, and he was talking about how Caleb interviewed them and asked about the quarterback history. And he said, the quote was, look, the history is the history. I'm tired of talking about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, and I said this when Justin was drafted. I said this when Caleb was drafted. Those guys are not responsible for the failures of their predecessors, but they're not shielded from those failures either, because all of those things add to the environment here in this city and in this market, and things that you then have to deal with coming off of a week two loss where your rookie quarterback struggles on a primetime stage, you know? And so that there's a level of tension there. There's a level of uh-oh there that is certainly impacted by what has happened here in the past.
Well, you heard it from a defensive captain.
Right.
Admitting that PTSD is not just about the fans, it's about the players who are still there. Did you sense some of that PTSD in the locker room?
I mean, Cole said something to the effect of, I feel like we've had this conversation many times in the last 3 or 4 years that I've been here, you know, about the offense being discombobulated and struggling and not being able to get itself righted in time to win a game that was within reach of winning. And I think that's probably what was frustrating more than anything else. Had they gotten beat 40-13, you just take your lumps and you get out of there. But as bad as they played, there was a minute left and they had the ball at midfield after a 27-yard yes. Caleb to Rome completion where you thought, man, they may steal this one yet, you know? And so then that adds to the fact that it's another close loss, you know, and it's another close loss where all you had to do was play ordinary offensively and you're skating into week three at 2-0 as one of the stories of the league.
Yes. Right? And I would argue, Dan, that urgency, or I should say, I would argue that sense of frustration and PTSD that you felt in the locker room, that Jalen Johnson elucidated beautifully
yeah.
in a human way right there, should add to the urgency for these offensive coaches to make some changes if they think they should make some changes. That because you've got a team that really fully believes they could be in these games and they could have won that game.
Yeah, and changes aren't always personnel, right? It's how do we do things differently? How do we create a formula for this coming opponent that plays to our strengths? You know,
there's lots of reasons to fix this,
right?
Because the damage you could inflict on the young quarterback, but also because this is a year for potential competition with a defense that thinks they deserve it.
This was why there was sort of, it's not a catch-22, but when Caleb walks into a situation where you have a team that is capable of achieving a playoff berth in his rookie season,
mm-hmm.
it eliminates some of the forgiveness of mistakes, because some of these mistakes are going to lead to losses that then reduce your chances of making the playoffs. Where, you know, I remember talking to Joe Burrow about this last month when he was in for the joint practices of you know, understanding that failure is going to be part of the journey. And as long as you lean into it and reset yourself quickly and understand that every mistake you make is a chance to gain the experience that you ultimately need, you're there. Well, Joe Burrow walked into a Bengals team that was expected to be the second worst team in the league when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
And they didn't have this high bar to clear where every loss that they experienced that was, you know, because of a mistake he made, compounded and created the amplified anxiety that we're feeling this week here in Chicago.
C.J. Stroud walked into a Houston Texans team last year that was just hoping to build something on its way towards competence. And instead, he did what he did, and they are where they are. This past Sunday night, after the Texans beat the Bears, Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud had a moment at midfield after the game. And on the video, Stroud talks to Caleb and doubles back. He like makes sure to go grab Caleb and bring him back towards him. And you said Caleb kind of minimized this in postgame, right?
Yeah, he was asked about it, and he basically just said, you know, yeah, he just said good luck, and we just wished each other well and went on our way.
Well, here's the audio from NFL Films.
Good job out there, bro.
Yeah.
Hey,
keep going.
Stop taking those hits.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
right?
Hey,
yeah.
Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yep.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
Learn from your mistakes. Everything you got, bro, is in there already. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league. It's from C.J. Stroud.
Great audio. The video is almost better because you can see how little Caleb wants to listen to it in the moment. You know, I think the frustration of losing that game was still so raw for him that he really wasn't there at a reflection point. Again, ball was in his hands with a minute to go with a chance to win the game, and they didn't get it done. And so that stings a little bit. But I do appreciate the quarterback brotherhood there of C.J. Stroud of taking a minute. He's in his second start of his second season, and he feels like he's got a little wisdom to pay forward to Caleb here. And I thought that was a cool moment to capture.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm always watching during those moments. The end of Bengals Chiefs, Burrow and Mahomes, just no warmth or communication whatsoever.
No. No.
Between those two guys.
Yeah, and you understand why, right? Like, because it's just, you know, one has what the other one wants.
Right, well, Burrow is 3-1 against Mahomes.
Right.
Now he's 3-2.
And Patrick's 3-0 against pretty much everyone in terms of rings and Lombardi trophies.
Yeah. but man, I was watching that. I was like, wow, there's really, there's no relationship
and that's another
there
one,
whatsoever.
Because of the way the game ended, you know, like Burrow is literally celebrating on the sideline right as the pass interference flag comes out of the referee's pocket, and then you understand that, oh man, this just went from a win to a loss, and it went from a celebratory week three to a question-filled crappy week three. And that's life in the NFL. It's the old John Fox saying, it's either crisis or carnival.
Yeah.
And this week it's a crisis here in Chicago.
You think this team in week eight at Houston, what kind of game is that?
Great question. You know, and maybe that's the advantage of getting some of these bigger opponent games later in the season after this one. As we mentioned earlier, the next four opponents haven't won a game yet. And so the competition level won't be where it was Sunday night over these next 4 weeks. And maybe that gives the Bears a chance to find themselves a little bit. Because once they find themselves, you know, they'll feel settled. They'll be able to take a breath. They'll be able to suppress some of these feelings that are there right now. But because of the expectations they have attached to this season, every loss feels a little bit more painful than it ordinarily would with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, it does. He's Dan Wiederer. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is Spiegel and Company. When we come back, the Analogy King gets a challenge from an active NFL legend, and my birthday entitlement is out of control. Mark Schlereth at the top of the hour on The Score. Saquon Barkley.
Happy.
Look.
Happy birthday.
It's a delicious soup. Have you ever had cream of Saquon Barkley? I have not. Saquon Barkley? Yeah, no. I've had beef Saquon Barkley. That's really, it's pretty. No, I haven't had that either now that I think about it.
David Montgomery.
What's your favorite running back as a soup? Light him up! 312-644-6767.
Jerry Rice?
It's a wide receiver, Shane. Nice
try,
though.
Yeah, but I know, but Rice.
David Montgomery.
It's a green.
Cream of Brock Farley.
So, look, it is my birthday. I asked Shane today if he would cook, because actually he offered to cook. That's the thing. You asked me what I wanted for lunch. I said, how about a lobster roll? And he said, you know, it's much easier to make a lobster roll.
Didn't say that.
He said,
that's not how it went down.
Well, it's
Don't lie. No, you wanted a very specific lobster roll.
Yeah, Connecticut
style. It's easy. Like, a brown bag is right by work here. You can get that lobster roll, which is chilled, mayo base, that's great.
Yeah.
You wanted Connecticut style, and I'm glad you did because that's the superior lobster roll.
I agree.
That's a warmed lobster roll with melted butter.
Right.
But it's hard to get here, especially for less than like $35 a roll.
Yeah. So instead, you volunteered, and we took you up on the offer to make lobster rolls. And then the other day, I had like a really good grilled cheese that was billing itself as the best grilled cheese ever, and you said, nah, let me make you the best grilled cheese ever. And so you did. You made these incredible sandwiches. Delicious, right, Dan?
Have I told all three of you how happy I've been since I ate that?
Remarkable. We've noticed. And then I told you what my wife had said, which was that I want a grilled cheese sandwich. And did you offer to make extra?
Yeah, I would have, but then you told me not to.
Well, because what I said was, you know, we're supposed to go to dinner later. Me and my wife and my son, we're supposed to go to dinner later. But maybe I'll just tell them to come here and you could make us grilled cheeses for dinner. And that was essentially asking you to make two meals.
That was asking me to make your lunch and then stay after work to make you, Steen, and Ruben grilled cheeses when I have plans after work.
Yeah, I didn't know you had plans.
Well, I said it in the text.
Eventually, you did after that. But it was when Tanny called me out on the group thread that I realized my entitlement was vast. And Tanny's like, my God, Speaks, what the hell?
Two meals?
I know.
And then get to the worst part, Speaks.
Oh, you go ahead.
All right, so Mitch, our boss, our wonderful boss.
He's a lovely guy.
Does not eat red meat, and we cook a lot of like red meat here when we do stuff in the kitchen. We do kitchen content. It's usually burgers, steak, whatever.
Yeah.
So when we do a non-red meat thing, Dan, we like to set some aside for Mitch because he likes to try my cooking. Like he likes to eat. He likes to have a good time.
Yeah.
So we put one aside for Mitch.
With a toothpick that said Mitch on it.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It was left there because I was like, I really want that last half of the lobster roll.
Yeah.
And you said, I think I could make another one with what I have left in the kitchen. And you left to go back to the kitchen to make another one.
So
during that 3 to 4 minutes while you were
not
gone.
Not even 3 to 4, brother. It was probably like 1 to 3 minutes, and I wasn't there, so I don't know how quickly you pounced on this lobster roll that was allocated for Mitch Rosen. But in the time that I was gone, bringing the poached butter back, I got back and the lobster roll for Mitch was gone.
I figured about 45 seconds in, I figured, you know what? He's going to get more. That means I could hammer this half of a lobster roll.
I said I might be able to make one more roll. I wasn't sure.
Well, and then just Taney found the toothpick that said Mitch on it.
I almost ate that.
Here it is. Everyone can see it.
Yeah.
No. So Mitch knows the truth, so I think the audience should as well. Spieg said before he devoured the final lobster roll, it's my birthday.
Is it not?
It is. But Mitch didn't want the grilled cheese. Mitch didn't want it. It's a good grilled cheese. It's Fontina. It's Colby Jack. It's cheddar. It's peaches.
Mitch just said, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, just popped in.
Well, did you tell him that there's some of the butter there left over with the poached lobster in it? There's
no more poached lobster in it. Oh. I'm pretty sure you went back there with a fork and took all the lobster pieces out of the butter.
I did not. That was me
with the toothpick from the ground.
No, it's just a little disappointing. That lunch went on Mitch's corporate card, the ingredients for that, and we didn't leave many. He doesn't ask for much.
My exception to this whole thing is that Shane charged me $45 for that lobster roll. And he just said that you could get that for $35 down the street. It was worth it, though.
All of a sudden, you had a tablet that he flipped in your face. Tip?
30%, maybe?
Right. There was a six top at a table just outside of our office that seemed very happy. Well, look, Shane is great at a lot of things. He's great at cooking. Thank you for that. It was a delicious lunch.
Yeah.
And he's also great at analogies. He might be the best analogy guy we've ever had. But Mike Tomlin, the Steelers coach, went with another analogy, and I'm told that we need to get Shane's ruling on this one.
Mike, Justin mentioned how rewarding it was to get the win in Denver for Russ. He said you gave out a petty game ball. Is that something that you've done often? Is it rewarding for you to get that win for him?
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public, because it's about our collective and how we come together and how we appreciate and support one another. And, you know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
So that's on
wow.
How they decide who gets a game ball. He says it's kind of like knowing all the ingredients to the hot dog, you might not like it.
A petty game ball.
Was it a petty game?
That's what he said. A petty game ball. So they were giving it for the sake of the backlash between the Broncos and the Steelers for Russ.
So you know, none of your businesses, respectfully.
Respectfully. That's a great analogy.
It's a great soundbite.
I mean, I eat probably 4 hot dogs a week. Yeah. I'm a big hot dog, no bun guy, like all beef hot dog. I just like to cut it up with a little bit of mustard.
Yeah, you should try it on the bun. It's even better.
I mean, sometimes, don't push carbs on me. Sometimes at night, like after I hit that pre-roll to go to bed, you get a little bit of munchies. You want just like a single hot dog with some mustard, some grainy, some ground mustard, right? Yeah. That's a great analogy. I don't know. I don't want to know what's inside of the hot dogs.
You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
I've never watched How It's Made about hot dogs. I did mistakenly watch the one about cold cuts, and I saw bologna. I saw bologna being made. It was scary.
That's why you have to get your all-beef hot dogs from Second City Prime, which is all beef product. It's not the other stuff. It's not ground up bones like Oscar Mayer.
And let me say, seeing that How It's Made about bologna, that put me off bologna for like almost 3 months. You know what I mean?
That's
no.
Love some bologna, baby. Fry it up and let's go. We have offensive line questions. And we have Danny Parkins questions. So we got the one guy who could really answer both right now, and that's Mark Schlereth from Breakfast Ball on FS1. He joins us next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.